Hello, you're listening to a May 2016 podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Dave Chancellor. For this podcast, we're going to be talking with Chris Herbst, who's an associate professor in the School of Public Affairs at Arizona State University. I spoke with him in April of 2016 while he was in Madison visiting IRP in the La Follette School of Public Affairs. Herbst has a large body of work exploring how people pay for childcare, with much of it focused on childcare subsidies. For this podcast, we'll be taking a look at an Institute for the Study of Labor discussion paper that Herbst wrote last year called The Rising Cost of Childcare in the United States, a Reassessment of the Evidence. When we first started talking, I asked him about the background for this paper and what led him to want to reassess the evidence on the cost of childcare.
A lot of claims have been made over the past couple of years about this so-called skyrocketing of families' childcare expenses. And my sense as I was reviewing the evidence on those claims was that, in fact, the evidence base was pretty thin, that there wasn't a lot of empirical evidence to support the notion that childcare costs were increasing, never mind increasing rapidly. So that was sort of the first inkling that I should probably take a look at this more closely. The second intuition that I had that sort of warranted a deeper investigation was that, you know, the demand for childcare as measured by mothers' labor force participation rates has been stagnant over the past decade or so. So we know that mothers' labor force participation rates stopped growing around the early 2000s and have been sort of flat and even declined somewhat since then. So I sort of use that nugget to think about, well, why in a world where mothers' labor force participation rates or the demand for childcare is stagnant, why would that sort of warrant claims about rising childcare costs?
Professor Herbst says that, broadly speaking, he used two different kinds of data to look at the trends in U.S. childcare costs.
I started off with using a data set called the Survey of Income and Program Participation, which is a government-funded survey, and I used the portion of the survey that explored the childcare expenses of families with children. And the survey has been conducted periodically over the last couple of decades, so it's actually quite useful for tracking whether and to what extent families' childcare expenses have changed over time. So one data source that I used was a survey of families and their childcare expenses. Another set of data sources that I relied on measured the earnings and characteristics of childcare workers, with the idea being that, you know, because the childcare industry is so labor intensive, the trend or the sort of direction taken in childcare workers' wages would tell us something about the direction taken in the market price of childcare.
The overall picture that Herbst finds in his analysis of this data is that for the typical family, childcare expenses rose by about 14% between 1990 and 2011. But there's more to the story.
This is about half the rise documented in previous work. The difference between my finding and the results in previous work really has to do with the way that childcare expenses are measured. But my finding suggests a rise that is not as steep, not nearly as steep as the finding in other papers. But I think the devil's in the details here. What I see is that the expenses of low-income families barely budged at all between 1990 and 2011. On the other hand, the child care expenses of their high-income counterparts increased dramatically in some of my analyses by as much as almost 50%. So that was an unexpected finding, and I sort of in the paper played around with some hypotheses as to why there is this sort of bifurcation in expenses across low-income and high-income families. I also find that the earnings of childcare workers, so this measure of the market price of childcare, increased modestly throughout the 1990s and then suddenly stopped growing around the early 2000s. and childcare workers' earnings have been stagnant since then. So that suggests to me that the market price of childcare likely increased throughout the 1990s, but probably hasn't changed much in at least a decade.
The bifurcation in childcare expenditures between low and high income parents that Herbst is talking about here is one of the reasons he decided to rethink how expenditures of the typical family are measured. The main numbers used in the conversations around the cost of childcare over the last couple of decades have come from a report issued periodically by the Census Bureau called Who's Minding the Kids? The report uses the same survey of income and program participation data that Herbst uses and is based on the mean or average cost of childcare for families in the sample.
What I argue in the paper is that the mean is influenced by a small number of families who are increasingly spending incredibly large amounts on childcare, such that the mean is now increasingly a less relevant summary statistic for what the typical family is spending. And so the way to sort of fix that is to use a different summary statistic, which I argue is better, and that is the median, which is not influenced by large deviations at both ends from what the typical family is spending on childcare. When that measure is used, it reveals a much smaller rise in childcare for the typical family over the past couple of decades.
Herbst sees a couple of key areas that may be driving the divergence in childcare expenses between high and low income families.
One hypothesis that I have is that the enormous investments in childcare subsidies and other forms of publicly provided early care and education have really been quite effective at keeping the costs down, childcare costs down of low-income families, and sort of prevented the rise that would have occurred in the absence of these programs. I think another potential explanation for the divergence in costs is that to the extent that what you're paying for childcare is an indication of the quality of care that you're purchasing, it could be the case that over time, low-income and high-income families are diverging, increasing with respect to the quality of care that they're buying. So higher-income families are purchasing care that is of increasingly high quality. Low-income families today are probably purchasing quality that is of about the same level as what they were able to purchase a couple of decades ago. And so from a public policy perspective, I think that that trend, that widening quality gap, if you will, is troubling.
In terms of the quality gap and flat trends in childcare costs for low-income families, Herb suggests a couple of interpretations.
Number one, the subsidy system is doing its job neutralizing childcare costs, and if that's the case, we should certainly continue to do that, and I would argue probably ramp up the robustness with which we do that. On the other hand, if the stagnation in costs among low-income families is suggestive of stagnation in the amount of quality that they're purchasing, then I think a policy response of sort of cost reduction and increased quality incentives needs to be sort of caked into the childcare subsidy system. So the subsidy system today is really sort of focused on cost reduction and incentivizing maternal employment. I would argue for sort of a shift or at least sort of equal emphasis placed on cost reduction and incentivizing quality. So for example, one way to do that is to provide increasingly large benefits to families that purchase quality of higher and higher levels.
As Professor Herbst sees it, the cost of childcare isn't the biggest issue in the market now. Instead, he says that the quality of childcare is actually the more challenging issue that people are dealing with.
In particular, the quality of services rendered by the U.S. childcare market is sort of low to kind of mediocre at best. In my view, an explanation for the low quality rendered by the market is an issue that's referred to as information asymmetry. And basically, the theory for that goes as following, that purchasing childcare is a very difficult process for parents to engage in. Childcare as a product is difficult for parents to evaluate. And as one of the dimensions of that product, quality is probably the most important thing and the most difficult thing to evaluate. And so what happens is when parents are sort of turned loose as sort of ill-informed consumers in the market, they purchase too much low-quality care and too little high-quality care. And as a result, for their part, providers don't have an incentive to provide high-quality care. What that tends to result in is sort of the high-quality providers being nudged out of the market. The only providers that can survive in the market are kind of low or average quality providers. So the way to kind of ameliorate that issue is to engage in really aggressive consumer education campaigns. There's some of that built into various nooks and crannies of our sort of childcare policy landscape, but I think we could be doing a lot better job, a much better job, in sort of informing parents regarding two issues: the value of purchasing high quality childcare for their children, and educating parents around how to distinguish between low and high quality providers, so that they have the sort of they're armed with this information as they head into the market and search for a childcare provider.
Since part of Herbst's analysis comes from looking at the wages of childcare workers, he says another dimension of this discussion that needs attention is the low pay childcare workers receive, something that he and many others who study childcare lament.
And it actually goes beyond that. Not only are they poorly paid, but childcare workers haven't seen a raise in over a decade. And there are sort of various policy proposals being floated to increase the earnings, increase the wages of childcare workers. I actually think that one of the most powerful long-term fixes to the sort of low and not increasing earnings of childcare workers is to fix this information asymmetry problem. So if we turn parents loose in the childcare market, as better informed consumers, they're going to sort of go out and demand higher quality childcare. What that means is for childcare providers, they will be free to hire more highly qualified workers and then pay them more. And parents will sort of understand why they're paying a little bit more today as compared to yesterday, because they're paying for a higher quality product, and they'll accept that. They'll accept that that's important and be willing to pay for it.
Herb says that if costs rise because the market quality of childcare is improving, public policy efforts will need to focus on enhancing subsidies so parents from across the income spectrum can invest in the higher quality care.
I think the quality of childcare that parents purchase, the level of quality that parents purchase, is probably one of the most important decisions that parents make. Something in the neighborhood of two-thirds of American preschool-age children regularly attend some form of non-parental childcare. And among those who attend for around 30 to 40 hours per week. So this is a lot of time in non-parental care during a set of years that's quite critical for child development. So quality is central to the question of child development. And the effect of quality is important in both directions. So when children, particularly low-income children, are exposed to high-quality care, they benefit. And when low-income kids are exposed to low-quality care, they suffer, which, in my view, warrants sort of a close look at this. And, it just has, I think, important policy implications.
Thanks to Chris Herbst for sharing his work with us. You've been listening to a podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty.